Well, if you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 25, Matthew 25. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. And I guess I want to support me. All right. No, I'm just kidding. That was good. All right. Matthew 25, Matthew 25. Good to see you tonight. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to hop right in here. And tonight, pick up on our eighth lesson through our Stewarding Life series. God's called us to be stewards in this life that He has blessed us with. And there are many ways that we steward this life that He's blessed us. And we just finished up stewarding trials. Well, many of God's people don't always look at trials as something to steward, but we certainly see from the Word of God that we are trusted to navigate trials and to see God use them in a way to make us stronger in the Lord. They do make us stronger. But tonight we're transitioning to stewarding resources. Stewarding resources. Did everyone get a handout? If you need a handout, would you raise your hand so we can get you one? All right, just a few right up here. We'll make those. And I think the AC's working good tonight. Hang meat in here. It's the roar. I'm a little nippy up here, and that's very unusual. but anyway, we are looking at this text here, stewarding resources. Matthew chapter 25 is a classic passage on what we learn about the Lord teaching us about this concept of stewarding, managing, being responsible for the gifts that He gives us in this life. Notice with me in Matthew 25, and why don't we pick up there in verse 14. The Lord gives this parable, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. He doubled, as the next one will do as well. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, and reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, and that which he hath. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask for your power now as I teach your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to truly be good stewards in this life you've given us. And Lord, specifically as we look at the resources, the way you have blessed us financially, I pray that we would be mindful that we are responsible for managing your money well. Please help us to grow in this, Lord. Speak to our hearts even tonight, and we'll be thankful for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be looking at the way that God has blessed us in the area of giving us money. And you say, well, we work for our money. Yeah, well, guess what? God gives us the energy to work for our money. He gives us the ability to work for our money. He gives us the job we have to work. And it all belongs to Him. And that's one of the things we'll look at tonight as we look at the Word of God together. You know, there are certain things we've looked at as far as being stewards of that are really, in some ways, you know, intangible. In other words, it can be somewhat subjective on how well you're stewarding it. For instance, your time, your health. There are a few things like that, perhaps even relationships that perhaps aren't as clear cut on whether we are stewarding well. But I will say this, that through this parable, the parable that Jesus gives, these three stewards and the talents is a lesson on how to really study finances from God's perspective. How to look at those things that God has blessed us with and to be responsible. So we are looking at this where we want to grow as stewards in handling the Lord's money. We want to appreciate God as our gracious giver. Amen. Everything we have is the Lord's. That's one of the points that we'll look at tonight. And I'll get to that here in just a moment. But, you know, finances really reveals in many ways, and not only reveals, but directs our hearts. Our hearts can be easily revealed when it comes to this. And He's given us many of these blessings to steward, as I mentioned. We talked about our thoughts, we've talked about our time, we've talked about our health and relationships. But again, finances is different in some degree. Financial provision is clear cut, what we receive of the Lord. And it can be measured objectively. It can be measured in the sense of knowing where it's going and understanding how we can be blessed of the Lord to know how to manage those funds. Matthew 6:21, even on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us that finances would be how we handle finances, should I say, is going to be a revealer. Because you remember He said, for where your treasure is, He said, that's where your heart will be also. And so it does bring about a revealing. And the way we steward our finances indicates some of our most passionate interest in life. It just does. You can't hide it. And this is why I believe Jesus frequently throughout the Gospels teaches on financial stewardship. I think it's important for Christians to be mindful of that. And I thought it was interesting how the Lord scheduled this up. I am not that talented administratively. I am not known for my organization skills. But God had this lesson lined up right before our missions conference, which I was very thankful because I needed it. I needed to hear this lesson as I studied it, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you as well. Well, let's look at these stewards and let's look at these talents. So number one, let's notice here, if you're filling in the blanks there, the distribution of resources. The distribution of resources. So what do we have here? We have a wealthy businessman. And when I say wealthy, he was wealthy. And I know that because of what basically a talent is equivalent to today. A talent of gold today would be around $4 million. Okay? In that time, one talent would be equal to 20 years of earnings. 20 years. So sometimes we think of a talent, maybe reading this, we're thinking of a little coin or something. It's not even talking about a coin. It's talking about the weight, okay? Gauging that. This parable is talking about a lot of money. So this wealthy businessman who's going on a trip basically finds three of his servants, and he is leaving them with different amounts. It's a large sum of money, even for the one talent, as I mentioned, but then also we know of the two and the five. Now, he took an account at this time, we're going to see, which is very interesting, he took an account the ability and the experience that these servants would have had as he approached them. And really, he apportioned their responsibilities accordingly as, again, they had shown forth the ability to do so. So then he left for his journey. And that's where we have here, where he is left off. Now, in the New Testament, again, as I mentioned, I mentioned gold, but a talent of silver was valued, even in 2019, I think I read up this one, a talent of silver in 2019 was valued at $1 million. So again, just to kind of give you an idea there. But letter A, under the distribution of resources, let's look at the provider of resources. We don't have to spend a lot of time here because we all know where the provisions come from, don't we? We know that God is the original source of every blessing. Everything we possess flows from His gracious hand. That's why when we sing the doxology, we sing it loud and clear from our hearts. But praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We give a hearty amen there. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where does it come down from? It comes down from the Father of lights, where there is in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. It belongs to the Lord. It is foundational. And it just does not magic. Our resources, our finances don't just magically appear. You ever want to get a little chuckle? Ever watch a young person that's around maybe 8 years old, maybe a little younger, maybe even a little older? Have you ever watched a kid's face the first time they see money come out of an ATM? You ought to see their face. They're like, whoa. And then in their little minds, they're imagining, wow, that machine gives out money. You know, hey, just can we get some more of that, you know? And their mindset that comes from that ATM. But listen, the truth is, and we give the expression, you know, sometimes with kids, you think money grows on trees. We say little things like that. We have little sayings. But we all know where money comes from. It comes from the Lord. And we're grateful for that. We see that, some illustrations of that in 1 Chronicles, even with David. I'm not going to take time to go through and read all of those, but in verse 12, he says, both riches and honor come of thee. It's everything I have, God, is from you. And our security is not in our resources. Can I say that again? Our security is not in our resources. It is in God Himself. He is the giver. He is the source of our resources. He is the one we look. So if there would be a major, and God forbid, but of course I know just so happens our government is temporarily shut down. But let's just say it would just totally crash. Economy would fail tomorrow. Can we just know for sure tonight that God will never fail? God will never fail. Things can get rough. Things could get real rough. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, we are Christians. We are Christians. We believe God. And we believe that He will provide and walk us through even some very difficult days and times. God will make a way for us. Because we do not put our security in our financial status. We put it in Him. And that's why I even think of missions. You know, most people that tithe, are looked at from the world as crazy. And then you add in extra offerings for giving to missions, for faith promise, or whatever the case may be. Then it's like, really, you're off your rocker. What are you doing? Well, we believe that our provider is the Lord Himself. And we'll look at more of that here in a moment. And it belongs to the Lord. And so letter B here, we see the people of His provision. That's me and you. We are virtually managers of a trust. God has given us that. I like what Randy Alcorn said. He said, the steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. Can I say that again? The steward carries no sense of entitlement to the assets he manages. It's his job to find out what the owner wants done with his assets. Then he determines to do the best he can to carry out the owner's will. That's us. That's us. It's not about my will. It's about God's will. God, how do you want this money of mine to be used for your glory? And that's a biblical world view. And sometimes we think of financial stewardship primarily as giving. That's not the case. I believe our saving, our spending, our giving, all of that is financial stewardship. It's accountability. It's just being accountable to the Lord. And it encompasses all those things, all of our assets, and including the ones we give, save, or spend. It all belongs to the Lord. So, practically applied, this principle means that we seek God's will in every financial decision. And I just encourage you with that tonight. Every financial decision, you pray about it. And sometimes, especially if it's a big one, really pray about it. Spend some days, even weeks, praying about it. As a married couple, pray about it together. I think in big financial decisions, especially, it's good to be on the same page and to think through and pray through. And God will bless that. But it's worth noting here that in Jesus' story, He entrusted His assets to servants according to one's several ability. He knew which ones were what capacity they had. And God blesses us according to our ability to steward for Him. So therefore, we do want to become better stewards. I do. And I believe you do as well. So notice with me here as we look at the single determining characteristic of a steward's success is not their volume, but it's their faithfulness. Notice that 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what, church? Faithful. It's faithful. It's not volume that God is interested in. It's faithfulness with what we have. But think about this. Number two, the demonstration of stewardship. Number two, you're filling in there, that second one there. Point number two is the demonstration of stewardship. Notice there are three stewards in this story, okay? But there are only two categories. Three stewards, two categories. The two categories are faithful and unfaithful. Faithful and unfaithful. And we all know that, obviously, we want to fall into the category of faithful. Letter A is faithful stewards. We see here that two of the servants immediately got to work with the boss's money, the owner's money. They started trading and investing. Both of them were over the course of years, and we know it was over the course of years. At least we have good evidence that it was a long period of time, because the Bible says after a long time, the owner returned. So we're not talking about just a few weeks or a few months. This was a long period of time. But anyway, they doubled their investment. Both of them did, 100%. And the two faithful servants went and traded the same. It says it wasn't just a few lucky transactions. It wasn't a get rich quick scheme. By the way, God's people, let's avoid those. That's trouble. Get rich quick doesn't exist in a godly manner. And I believe that we have to be careful to not try to cut corners or cheat or lie or just, again, we have to be good stewards of what God has given us. But nevertheless, we see here, and in those that supporting verse, 1 Timothy 6:9 talks about those that will fall into temptation. It's those that will desire to be rich. Now, what does that mean? 1 Timothy 6:9, I think you have it in your notes there. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That is a strong verse. That is a super strong verse. What does that mean? Does it mean that for you to be rich is what this verse is saying, is to fall into temptation? No, that word will there is very important. It's those that basically, get this, have a burning passion to be rich at all cost. Doesn't matter. Whatever I got to do, if I got to forsake my family, if I got to lose relationships, if I got to lie, if I got to do whatever, if I got to disobey my calling that God has given me, and I'm just gonna get rich. I have some friends that I believe in my heart. I don't know for sure. God is their judge, but in my heart, I believe that they missed the call of God because they got caught up in some of this get rich scheme stuff, and again, just they had the call to preach on them. And we used to preach together, and they got caught up in that, and I just following their social media. That's all they talk about is money, money. You won't believe the money. And I had one buddy tell me, he's like, "Well, yeah, I'm gonna get rich, and so nobody will have to support me, and I'll just do my own preaching, and I don't have to be dependent on anybody." And I'm thinking that's may sound good on the surface, but you know that's not God's plan. God says when He calls preachers and evangelists and missionaries, He calls them to live by faith and to live of the gospel. There's nothing wrong with, for a preacher. Many preachers that are pastoring smaller churches, quite frankly, they have to be bivocational. And it's certainly not that sustainable in most cases, but sometimes it's necessary. I'm not talking about those men. They have to get a job. They have to support their family because the church is not able to pay them a full-time salary. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about those that are just all about just making that money at all cost. So understand this. You've heard this statement. It has been said that money is a great servant. Anybody know the rest? But a lousy God. Money makes a great servant, but a lousy God. So we keep that in mind. We don't let money become what we worship. I believe that these faithful stewards weren't doing that. They were doing what they were called to do. So eventually here, we see that their testimony is, again, that they doubled. And their primary concern as stewards is just doing what the master told them to do. It wasn't about increasing their own riches. It was about increasing their master's riches. They were because they maintained that stewardship mentality. And that should be our goal, by the way. That is our goal in this life, is to just maintain a stewardship mentality. Let's do this letter B, and then we'll close up here for tonight. But that is the faithless steward. The faithless steward. The third servant panicked. So when he got his one talent, the Bible says that he dug a hole and he buried it deep, safe from failure, but inaccessible to success. He had no chance for it to multiply there in the ground, and he reasoned it, at least it would be safe. And this was the totally opposite of the other two. They saw, hey, you know, we're going to do what the master called us to do. But this unfaithful sought to protect his own interest, and so doing, he lost his opportunity. And the master pointed that out, too, in the passage. So which servant would identify you tonight? Which one would identify me? Are we faithfully stewarding God's finances for His glory? Are you lacking faith in God's goodness and hoarding resources for yourself? I believe we ought to just present it all before the Lord and say, God, You tell me where it goes. And that all goes across the board, does it not? Maybe you heard the story, and it is a make-believe story. You know, of course, you're going to get understand that after I tell it to you. But the story is told of a man who asked God, what is a million years to you? God answered, well, it's like a second to you. He said, well, what is $10 million to you? The man questioned next. God's response was like a dime. He says, well, then, the man continued, sure, his case was set perfectly, what he thought. He said, may I have a dime? And God responded, sure, just a second. Sometimes instead of, you know, faithfully filling our role as stewards, we try to manipulate God. And we try to tell him, well, Lord, if I do this, you'll do this. And then you get that prosperity gospel concept where you're trying to make plans with God. You know what God's just saying to us? He says, just be faithful. Just be stewards of what you have. Don't try to make deals with God. Walk by faith and walk as disciplined as possible in your use and managing his money. And that's where we operate. A consistent discipline is what we're longing for. Do we do this perfectly? No, we don't. Some better than others. And by the way, we don't let us use excuse, because some people are, quite frankly, I think are gifted in the way they can, you know, you've heard those people that, boy, they just touch it and it just seems to just thrive and be blessed. There are some people that do have a touch on them when it comes to business matters. And I believe those are some gifts that God's given them. And there's nothing wrong with that. That can be a good thing. But may those of us that may not have that gift, may we not use that as an excuse not to be good stewards, not to seek to grow, to be more and more disciplined with the funds the Lord's given us. Because we do know that one day, as we'll look in our next lesson, it'll be 2 weeks from tonight, there'll be a day of accountability, a day of reckoning, because the businessman in this story returned. And, you know, the first people he sought out is those people that he had given those things to. And I think a lot of this applies to the judgment seat of Christ. I believe one day we're just going to give an account of what all we did with how the Lord blessed us. And I certainly know each and every one of us want to take that very, very seriously. So tonight, as we close out, let's just think of this stewarding resources for God's glory. And to be like those fellows that had the 5 talents and the 2 talents and just went to work with what God had given us. And I can't say this without closing with this understanding. Jesus gave that teaching that lay your treasures up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where neither thieves break through nor steal. And he says, lay it up in heaven, because what he's talking about is what the investment of God's people should be is that which is eternal. Now, we know God is okay, and God commands us to be responsible stewards when it comes to our bills. We have to pay our bills. We have to eat, buy clothes. God promises to provide of that, and even recreational things. God gives us liberty, all things to enjoy. We read that principle in Timothy. And we want to consider that. But may the main focus, the crosshairs, if you will, when it comes to our finances, may it be the glory of God. The glory of God. Lord, I want what you have given me to use. I don't want to act like it's mine. This is where what convicted me and my stuff. I'm just going to be transparent with you. That thought there that was, I don't need to act like I'm entitled to some of it, to use it how I please. I'm not. It's his. And even if it's buying a new boat, I need to pray about it and just say, Lord, this is your money. And he may just completely give me liberty to go out and get me a new boat. Now, Joanna may have a totally different idea about that. No, with all seriousness, I'm just using that as a funny example. I'm not entitled to one dime of the money in my bank account. It's God's. And I am to use it for the purposes that he leads me in. and gives me wisdom and peace in, and that is all across the board of life. You know, and so let's remember that. Lord, it's yours. You just tell us how you want us to use it, and that's what we're going to do. And may we not neglect the work that you want to do in and through us, through our church, and reaching people for Christ, and use it to be a blessing to the poor, whatever the case may be. Lord, this is yours. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for...